There are several scripture readings we're going to lift up this morning. The first two come from previous sermons this month, just to kind of remind us what we've been learning about generosity. And the first is from the Hebrew Scriptures, the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're learning about generosity and worship together and worship as how we live our very life. Moses says, "These are the statutes and the ordinances that you must diligently observe in the land that the Lord your God, God of your ancestors, has given to you to occupy all the days that you live on earth. Seek the Lord in the place that the Lord God will choose out of all your tribes as the inhabitation of his name there, and you shall go there and bringing there your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your donations, your commitment to gifts, your free will offerings, firstlings of your herds and flocks. And you shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your households, together rejoicing in all the undertakings that the Lord your God has blessed you with." And then from the Gospels, these words of Jesus: "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back."
And one more. This is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, found on page 183 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches in Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us." The word of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm Jane Lippert, and I am your staff person who works with the outreach program. And the outreach program serves our primary ministry is providing hot, free breakfast 5 days a week in the summer, 7 days a week in the winter. We also serve lunch on Thursdays. We offer mailing addresses, showers, bus passes, and a place for folks to gather. So thank you. I thank you on behalf of all of my volunteers for supporting the ministry. I also happen to be married to your pastor, Chris Lane, who indeed was sleeping on a church floor. To become a pastor, at least in the Methodist tradition, you have to go to a seminary. You go get your bachelor's degree, and then you go to seminary, so it's a master's degree. And when I went to seminary, I had this dream. I thought, you know, I'm single. I can do something big with my ministry because I'm by myself. So I had this wild dream that I wanted to go serve in a developing country in a totally different culture. And I was thinking India, the Congo, Guatemala, you know, something. I thought this would be great. Okay, this is my dream. And then I met Chris Lane. How do you pass up Chris Lane? Seriously. How could you? I didn't. So I serve many churches throughout West Michigan, and had some amazing adventures there, and always tried to cater my ministry to be a bridge builder between inside the building and outside the building. Well, fast forward 30 years, and I took a sabbatical, study sabbatical, and I was interested in doing reading on the spiritual but not religious movement, the people who felt spiritual yearning and awakenings, but you know, had never plugged in to an organized religion or church. So, and after, you know, that year of study, I was feeling like I had a new wild dream. I wanted to work with folks for whom maybe church hasn't been part of their vocabulary or life, but there still was a spiritual longing in their lives, and help them make that connection in some way. And I didn't know quite where, but this was my new wild dream. And one Sunday morning, I was sitting somewhere over here with our youngest daughter, Rachel. And, you know, I'm looking around, and she's reading the bulletin, every detail. And then she puts it in front of me and says, "This is so you." And I looked and it said, "Help wanted. Central Church is looking for an outreach coordinator." Read about it. Applied for it. I had my first interview and Chris was out of town. He didn't even know I was doing any of this. I sure hope that was okay. And I got the position. And all of a sudden my two wildest dreams came together because I was working with another culture, people who had to live on the streets. You know, it's learning to look at things from a different perspective. I was having that experience, and a good measure of them who mistrusted church life or who hadn't grown up in an environment where that was positive or important. And so Central United Methodist Church became the conduit for my wildest dream. So thank you. I'm still living the dream. Still living the dream, because together we have the power to do great good. If you wondered where Dale got the line with the kids, whether I'm stealing it from him or he's stealing it from me, you'll never know. But just remember, together we have the power to do great good. What are your wildest dreams? Because together, we have the power to do great good. So, this is the third week of the 2020 Vision message series we've been doing, right? And I asked Dale to read parts of those verses because it all builds on each other. You know, Dale was 2020 Vision Lessons from the Hebrew Scripture, so the Old Testament. He used the Deuteronomy 12 passage, lifting up that our entire lives can be perceived as an act of worship in response to God's generosity. Our entire life can be an act of worship as we respond to God's generosity. And then last week, Chris, the 2020 Vision Tips from Francis and Jesus. You see how he got to talk about our trip during the sermon, right? Well, it fit, but still. And he took the Luke 6 passage and the call to giving as a path to freedom, as modeled by St. Francis' Jesus lifestyle. That giving is a path to freedom. And today, Nan read for us, we're in the epistles now, the last third of the Bible, that letter to the church at Corinth, second letter to the church at Corinth, specifically. It's one of Paul's letters. And the context of these letters is that this is post-death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? This is going on after that time. This is, you know, the book of Acts talks about where they went, you know, preaching, and they baptized big groups of people, things like that, and how they traveled, and how they had leadership wars, and all that type of thing. Acts is all the action. And Paul's letters give you a backdrop about what was needed to keep each of those communities they went and preached to going. So, the disciples of Jesus, followers of his way, are circulating after his death and resurrection. They're spreading the good news, right? They're spreading this news about Jesus, this news of the generous activity of the one God taking on a life of poverty as a human being, becoming incarnate in the body of human life via Jesus the Christ. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of those disciples, sees this act of God in Christ as an expression of generosity. He understands that the self-giving love of Christ reveals the very heart of God as a heart of extravagant generosity. Well, that's why we're here today, right? I mean, Jesus, right? That's what Christian church Sunday morning, because of what God did in Jesus. That's even why we're here. That's why we're worshiping today. So way back then, though, in order for that word to get to us, it had to get to other people first. And so Paul's hopping around the area of the world that we know as Turkey, Greece, Italy, Syria, Israel. He's over there. They weren't called those country names then. They were, in fact, they were all subsumed in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was controlling everything. So there weren't countries, but there were regions called different things. And so here's Paul. He's going all around those areas without the benefit of planes, trains, or automobiles, mind you. So this is why the letters were so important, because he couldn't be at all of them all at the same time, so he had to write letters. And as he writes to inspire the church at Corinth, he lifts up the role model of the churches in Macedonia. Macedonia. The letter he writes to Philippians and Thessalonians in the back of the Bible, back there with Corinthians. The Philippians and the Thessalonians are in the Macedonian area. Those are some of the churches that he's talking about here. So, why was Paul using the Macedonians as a teaching tool? Well, because he was talking about generosity. He says, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." It appears that it was the Macedonians' wildest dream to be of help to those who were in great need. They were giving money towards the people in Jerusalem because those folks didn't have what they needed. They were struggling greatly. They weren't able to survive. People weren't able to live. And so this offering that they're taking was to be sent to those folks to help them keep living, just living. And the Macedonians, it was their wildest dream to help with that. And how do I know that? Well, read what the next few sentences are here. "For as I, Paul, can testify, they, Macedonians, voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege." They were begging to put money in the offering plate. I've done a lot of things in advance of the offering, but running after it and begging, "Please, please, please, can't you just see it at church in the park?" Well, you know how it's kind of, they have to walk through. If everybody stood up, "Here, me first, me." They were begging. They were begging for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints in Jerusalem. So instead of asking the church at Corinth simply to give money, or shaming the people into giving, He talks about the Macedonians as a Christ lens to view giving. He is virtually saying, look what we can do. Together, we have the power to do great good. It's as if in Christ, our wildest dreams become realized. We form a body that strives for 20/20 vision, taking on God's eyes and seeing the world. The churches in Macedonia laid out then and now the practical application of living lavishly in the generosity of God. Through this generosity, we can reach our wildest dreams. Now, if I were to have been with Paul when he was writing the letter to the church at Corinth, I think I would add a line. So he writes, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. I would add this. And we want you to know about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Traverse City, Central United Methodist Church has people dreaming dreams, the wildest of dreams. Anybody here on the mission committee? Show me a hand. Are you on the mission committee? They're humble. So the mission committee had this wild dream to build a medical clinic and birthing center in Haiti. I mean, isn't it big enough that they wanted to build one of those? But Haiti, let's go to Haiti where it's hard to get the resources. And, you know, so they had this wild dream. And their 2020 vision saw that the people of Traverse City would be generous. And what happened? They were right, because together we can do great good for God. And then the Serve Saturday team had this wild and crazy dream. Anybody participate in Serve Saturday before? Yeah. Had this crazy dream that Central Church could invite the community to love our neighbors in extraordinary ways every single month, every third Saturday. That people would wake up early on Saturday and go to Habitat for Humanity or Food Rescue or Reigning Liberty Ranch to work. And that we could funnel the generosity of ages 3 to 93, because they even dreamed that children could be involved, that we could funnel that energy beyond the walls of our building in hands-on mission. And what is happening? They were right, because together we can do great good. Anybody part of Creation Stewards? Or have worked in our neighbor's garden? Anybody? Yeah. Can you imagine dreaming that we could actually have a positive impact on the environment? That composting and growing food could be things church people do as a way of being faithful? It is happening. They were right, because together we can do great good. Justice for Our Neighbors, Kids Hope, Dolly Parton's Library, Dan's House, United Methodist Women, Outreach Meals, Safe Harbor, Wild, Crazy, Luxurious, Beyond Belief, Generosity kind of dreams. Happening. All happening. Because, can you say it with me? Together, we can do great good. Dale was correct. We can live our lives as an act of worship. And Chris was right. We are set free by living like Christ. The Macedonians, right on target. Because we can reach for our wildest dreams and be generous with our time, our actions, and yes, our money. Because, hold on a minute, together we are doing great good. Thank you, Central United Methodist.